All right, so I just wanted to pick up on a point I made last time, so just for the sake of those who weren't here. We were discussing now the din of Kiddushin Metosimba. This is the position of Rabbi Yochanan. When it comes to Hariyab Gudesh, so as opposed to Rav and Shmuel, who think this language of Me'ashu will Achar Miyom, so that's either a Tanai or it's a Suffolk if it's a Tanai or Chazara. Basically, categories we're familiar with, we understand. Rabbi Yochanan thinks it means something different. It means something which allows for Me'atosimba, that actually everybody, in the case where I'm Mikadesh Nisha, Me'ashu will Achar Miyom, and somebody else is Mikadesh at that point, so actually both of the Kiddushin are toasted. Okay. So we've been exploring just the two different mechanisms, two different explanations, accounts of how this works according to in Rishonim. There's the view on one hand of the Rashba and the Rava Abezin that this is based on Kiddushei Chutz. It's a sugya that you find in Gittin. When it comes to Ger Shei Chutz, we have a machlokas in the Mishnah whether or not a person can, or the way that Gemara understands the Mishnah, whether or not if a person is Megarish his wife and says, but this Gershon should only be Chal Klape most people, but not Klape Shimon, Chutz Mi Shimon. So whether or not that works, whether or not the Gershon is effective and leaves out Shimon, the Rabbanan say it does not. The question that the Gemara poses is, what did the Rabbanan think about Kiddushei Chutz? And it leaves it, it seems to resolve that question, but perhaps not. So the Rashba believes that, perhaps not, that the Rashba and the Rav Abezin say this day, this Rabbi Yochanan of Afilu Me'atosim, but that's really based on, this is an instance of Kiddushei Chutz. It's just an interesting formulation. What he's saying is, it's equivalent to saying, Hariyam Gudesh say Chutz Mimisha Yikadesh Osaf Besach Lamedyom. So that's how this works. And then the alternative was Tosfos, who's much more opaque in a way, in terms of their model. They say that, no, the Chutz doesn't work, that's the Gemara's, they take the Gemara's line there when it says Hadar Pashta, that Kiddushei Chutz is no good for the Rabbanan, that really is the final line. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan cannot be based on Kiddushei Chutz. The Baya Tosos and the Ritva and others as well. So they say that rather what we have here, what's working here is a separate, a new model. It's an idea of Haschel of Gemar. It's Maschil Achshav, the Kiddushin. It's sort of protracted, elongated in some way. It's Maschil Achshav, the Gomer L'Achel Lamed Yom, and whatever it is that is precluding other Kiddushin from being Tofes in general, that's something which is only Chal at the end of the 30 days. So that's how it works. So the last time we were discussing just the different nafkaminas, and one of the major ones was just the nature of the Ishus L'Rishon B'Soch Lamed, the extent to which it exists and the nature of it. So we mentioned that according to the Rashba, essentially, this question is not much of a question. We understand that he's got full Kiddushin, except insofar as it applies to Shimon. It doesn't apply to Shimon. Klape Shimon, she's considered Pnuya, but for all the purposes, she's Eshes Ruvin. This is within Tochlamet, right? But we noted that as far as the Tosas is concerned, so there's a range of possibilities in terms of the extent and the nature of the Ishus Rishon that exists Tochlamet. Perhaps we said there's no Ishus at all, that the Aschala, what that means is only that it's masil only to the effect that it can't be pushed aside by other kiddushin, but you won't be otherwise seeing any nafkaminas tochlamed of this kiddushin. That's on the one hand, and the other extreme is to say that no, it's actually full ishus that is chal me'achshav. The only thing which is left out is whatever it is, and that's going to be a major part of our analysis of Yochanan. Whatever it is me'aki, which precludes kiddushei acherim from being tofsim. So as far as that's concerned, that's only thing you have left on at 30 days. Aside from that, you have full ishus. And then I mentioned that there's, of course, somewhere in the middle. And I mentioned it could be, you might say there's mixus ishus, although it's hard to sort of figure what that would mean, but there's some level of ishus, but not a full level, or perhaps there are different components. So something like this latter view, that there are different components, there's some component of ishus that's chal, besoch lamed, and some which isn't, something like that. And there are various formulations one could suggest, various variations of this idea. But one that actually does find expression in the Ramban, I just want to mention this. So this is the Ramban explaining, he's elaborating upon the Tosos, and he says that the Tosos' understanding of this Shita, of Rabbi Yochanan, that affords him an explanation, an account of something which otherwise would bother him, and should bother him, and should bother us, which is Shita's Rabba. Because the Gemara said, when it mentions Rabbi Yochanan, it asks a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan from the Braisa, which speaks of the case of get, where we say, if hareze gitech mehayom ulachar misa. So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, this should not work, because kogita de mishayar be'elav klum. So we mentioned at the time, right, that the Rashba understood this meant that this is a case of gerush chutz. I mean, this is saying, harayim gerush chutz me, whoever it is going to be mekadesh you between now and my death, so that's just no good because gerush chutz is no good. The Tosfos say, this is just, again, background, just the Tosfos say that, no, the problem here was that it was you're leaving a part of it to be chal, the Gemara is set to be chal, achar misa at a time when there's no... It's not a shas, that's the problem. But either way, the Gemara says it shouldn't be anything according to Rabbi Yochanan. So, and nonetheless, the Braisa cites the view that it makes chalitza salam isabemis, that you have a requirement for chalitza, right? So why would this be, right? I mean, the truth of the Gemara points out this works better with Rav. I mean, Rav chalitza salam isabemis, which means that. This is generally the what we do in cases. It's not the only time we do that, but one prominent case where we are chaletz is lo mezibemis. This case is a sfekos, because you don't want to be on the wrong side of the safek if and do yibum, and in a case where it's shlobim komitzva, that's an isur eshesach. But in case of your mechuyav, so she there's an isur yavam alashuk. So what do you do? And there's also a mitzvah of chalitza. So what do you do? So you do chalitza. That's the answer. So you can understand that if you hold like. The Gemara says, you can understand if you hold like Rav, that this is a suffix, whether or not it's a Tanya or Chazar, and therefore whether or not she's married in this case. But you can just explain for the Shmuel that this is the other Shita that Shmuel acknowledges exists. What are you going to say for Rabbi Yochanan? Why should this be requiring any form of Chalitza? This should be nothing. So the Gemara ultimately answers this question in the name of Abaye, that this is a Gzera Derabanan. That in a Chinami Minatora, there's nothing to be concerned about here. You wouldn't need Chalitza. Precisely because Kogida Dol Mishaya Bay, Lakumu, this language of Me'achshav Al-Achar Shloshim is a language of Shiur, of somehow Shiur in one of these two ways, and that's not going to be, at least where you're Mishaya in the case of Misa, that's not going to work. So really, you wouldn't need any sort of, I'm sorry, really, you could be Misiya Bemis here. Right. You really could be Misiya Bemis. I'm sorry, I was saying that. The question is, why does he have anything? No, the question is, why shouldn't you just do Yibum? That's the question. Because it's a get, which is not chal at all, so there should be no problem. You should enable Yibum here. So the Gemara says, in a Chinami, this is a Abaye's answer, you really could do Yibum. The only reason that you don't is because of a Chashasha Derabanan. Okay. So that's the final answer. That's a Abaye. But before that, Rava gave a different answer to this question of what it is, why it is that you would say no Yibum in this case, why you would say that you should only do Chalitza but you can't do Yibum. And he says as follows, that Amar Rava get lahotzi umisa lahotzi, masheh shir get gamraso misa. All right, so Rava says, oh, the reason that you need, that you would need here to have you couldn't do Yibum, that there would be no Zika, is because Masha Shir, that the get sort of started the process in a way, and the Yibum finished, and I'm sorry, the Misa finished it, so that maybe she's actually now not Zikuka to the person who died, and therefore you couldn't do Yibum. So, this is a very difficult thing to say. I mean, this invites the question which Abaye immediately poses to Rava, which is, what are you talking about? How could that possibly be the case? Right? Get is something which is motzia mirshusa yavam. If a woman is mgresha, so then obviously there's no yibum. Whereas misa is something which is machnisa lirshusa yavam. So how could it be that as far as the question of whether or not she's brishusa yavam liyosakuka lo, we'll say that there's a complementary relationship here. There's a collaborative effort between the get and then the misa finishes off what the get started. What does that mean? Misa doesn't do that sort of thing. Right, that's the question, and ultimately the Gemara rejects it. But the question that was on the Ramban's mind is, what is Rava's response? How could Rava have thought otherwise? So this is the Ramban here. I didn't include it in the Makaros, but I'll just read it to you. So he says that according to the Tosfos's reasoning, he has something of an explanation for this, which really sort of helped him to sleep. So he says, where is it? He says. Lufiza appears, meaning according to the Tosos, that the idea is that there's some sort of haschala now, and Gomer al-Achal al-Miryam, So the fizah perish is bar lanu tamo shel rava or shel rava.
Why does it say rava? Is it rava in Ardama?
Yeah, I don't know what the gears. It should be rava. Tamo shel rava. Get lohotzi mitzal hosi. Shaya kashalanu. Heach ala daito lomar kein. Halo misa inu lohotzi miyavim kedashile abaye. Right. I mean, what was the havamini here? This is the Ramban altar on daf samach amanal. How could he even make that mistake? Says, so now that we have this understanding of the Tosfos, that there's some sort of new concept of a protracted kiddushin, and therefore, in this case, it would be a protracted gerushin. After nefar shahaya rava sover shekevin shemichayim hischilu gerushin me'ach shaviyatzas meshuso shabal the kol shaviyatzas meshuso shabal klal enemisi abemis. So what is he saying? So Ramban is suggesting that maybe this was the idea here, and the reason I'm mentioning it now is because you see that he viewed this account that he's at least giving within Rav. For Tosfos's view of this is one which clearly implies that there is impact in terms of the Ishus. This is the Gerushin side of it, so this would be the unraveling of the Ishus. We were talking originally about the Kiddushin side of it, but it's the equivalent, right? That there is, in fact, an unraveling of the Ishus, the equivalent of there is an emergence of Ishus within the 30 days, and he even identifies for you components of it, I think. What he's saying is that what is it that is responsible for her being zakuka liyavam, what is it responsible for enabling yibum, the ability to do yibum, is her being bershuso shel hayavam, and that's a function of her having been bershus of the achames. All right, so she's somehow bershusi. She's in my domain in an isha sense, not in a bialus sense, obviously, but not in a monetary sense, but in an isha sense, she's within my jurisdiction, if you will, and that's what enables, and that's Mechayev Yibum. That has been disrupted with Gerushin, that is Maska Me'ashav Le'achal Amad Yom. So already, what happens Me'ashav is something which disrupts, which is Motziah Mershus HaYavam, Mershus HaBaal, and therefore Mershus HaYavam. And what remains, so the Ramban is clear, what remains is, says the Ramban, that she's not yet Muteres La'acherit. So the Ramban is of the opinion that according to Tosos, were you to have Gerush Mehayom Ulachar Misa, by the way, there's another Chiddush here, which is that according on their view, I mean, you could have just said, and this is probably a simpler way to have understood, the problem of being Meshayer La'achar Misa in the Tosos' view, the problem is something which nips the whole thing in the butt. There's no such thing as Gerush Me'ashav Ulachar Misa. We just say that whole mechanism is not a mechanism which works, and therefore it doesn't work at all. Ramban is saying, no, even if you say that you know, kogid mishayer laf kumi, that if you mishayer la'achar misa, it's no good. That just means it's not gomer. But it actually, the start that it had, it does get off the ground. It does have some impact. Right? The Ramban is saying, you know, the Ramban is saying, not only do we have an impact within Sof Lamed, he's saying that this is true even if it, in the end, doesn't have a gemar. Again, this is all within at least this explanation of Rava. I mean, it's not clear entirely whether or not the Ramban is going to, you know, be bound to this explaining Kiddush in the Ashav Ulach Armisa, Lefiyah Tosos, but within Rava's explanation of Gerushin in the Ashav Ulach Armisa, Aliba Datosos, this is how the Ramban understood it, that there is a component which is, that what happens, what starts now is that she's dislodged, she's no longer Beshus HaBaal, and therefore she's not able to do Yibim. However, she's not Muteres, let me finish it up, she's not Muteres LaAcherim. And as far as that's concerned, it's just an interesting view in terms of Yibum. So it emerges is that the Isser Yavam Lashuk, which is required, which is what is Mechayiv, and in this case is what triggers the need for Chalitza, right? The Isser Yavam Lashuk is a remnant, is the offspring, in a sense, of the Isser Eshes Ish, while the husband was alive. So inasmuch as here you have these two components. On the one hand, she was Asur Eshes Lacherim, but she wasn't Breshus Habal. So what that means is, on the one hand, there's no Yibum, because she's not Breshus HaBaal, and therefore she's not going to be Breshus HaYavam, Diach. On the other hand, there still was an Isser Eshes Ish, and therefore that translates into an Isser Yavam HaLashuk, right? Lotia Eshes HaNes HaChutz HaLish Zar. So that still exists. That's a function of the Isser Neof, I guess. And that would require Chalitza. So this is all the Ramban's explaining within the world of Gerushin, Me'ashav HaLachar Shloshah. One would wonder, going with this. So what would that mean on the other side of it? Presumably, if we were to just sort of mirror image that and say, okay, so the Kiddushik Me'ashu V'Lachar Shloshim, let's say it does the opposite, right? So the Kiddushik Me'ashu V'Lachar Shloshim, maybe we could argue, is Mach Nisosa L'Shuso, but perhaps there's no Isser yet. That's what we should say, that she should be Muteres L'Acherim, but in some sense she's already Birshuso. I'm not sure if Ramban would have to say this. I don't know if he would. I'm just saying that that's something that we could consider, and then we could sort of consider whether or not what dinim are a function of the Rishus aspect of it, and what dinim are a function of the Isserishus Ish. We might think, for instance, that as far as, let's say, Hafar Sadarim, maybe he'll be made for it. Maybe that's just purely a function of the Knesset Rishus, and therefore, given this suggestion, which I'm offering tentatively, I'm not in any way claiming the Ramban is going to say this. I'm just saying one could consider this possibility for the Ramban. And a Kiddushik Me'ashu V'Lachar Shloshim would likewise be Machniso Rishuso, without an Isserishus Ish. Maybe in that case we'll have Hafar Sadarim. And that would also be an explanation, this we're going to come to somewhat extensively, the Isserishus Ish is in Chal Yed until later, and therefore you would then argue, and this makes a lot of sense, that is what is responsible for being Me'akid Tefisas Kiddushi Acherim. So therefore there's still going to be Tefisas Kiddushi Acherim until 30 days, because the Isser has not yet occurred. But as far as other things are concerned, maybe there will already be a Knisa, maybe as far as, let's say, a Farsa Dharma is concerned. But again, I want to make clear, the Ramban isn't, having said this, is not committed to saying any of that. It's not clear exactly how that would be reflected in the Kiddushi side of it.
What would he be saying?
I'm saying I'm not sure, I don't know. But he could argue, listen, I think this is all possible on the Gerushay side of it, to start dissembling and to start unraveling parts of the issues and not entirely. On the Kiddushin Me'ashu V'Lachar Shloshim side of it, I would think, either it's got to be all or nothing, let's say. You can either create the issues or you can't create the issues, but you can't have just parts of it. Once you have it, then you can start, once you're by them over it, you're in control of it, you can start saying, okay, I'm going to let go of this piece and not this piece. But to create it in the first place, that needs to be an all or nothing proposition. So he could very well say that, which is why I'm saying I don't think he's puzzled. Just like, oh, again, remember, this is within Rava. And the question becomes, what is Abaye, once Abaye responds, what he responds? So it's not clear entirely how much of this idea is committed. But you see that he's suggesting, on the Gerushin side of it, at least something along the lines of what we're saying is a middle approach in terms of what is the maskil of a gomer. There's something being maskil now, there's something being gomer later. He actually identifies some components of it in an interesting way. Yeah.
On the Kiddushin side of it, why wouldn't you say that there isn't Isser Yishus Ish, but it's not Birshuso?
What do you mean? I would think that Me'ashav Maskil, so it's in the Gerushin side of it, what the Ramban is saying for Rav again, is that has to do with to what extent she's considered to be within his Ishus jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But there's no Isser, if you want to put it this way, you can put it this way. That has to do with the nature of the kinyan, the Zika between them, let's say. I'm mm-hmm. using Zika loosely, not colloquially. Right? Not in the halakhic sense of like you. Like the Zika, right? The connection between them, that's been unraveled, but there's still no Isser, there's still an Isser, Lashara, all of them. Those two things apparently aren't functions one or the other.
Right.
And, right, I mean, this is important about for other reasons, but you're clearly separating these two components, as opposed to thinking that they must go together. But the point is, so he apparently thinks that doesn't have to be, and he suggests maybe that's where we find the Me'ashu V'Lachar Shloshim. That's what it has. That's the nafkamina, the impact that it has. It's
right.
Yeah. So right. I'm saying on the opposite side, for the Kiddushin to be masculine in a way in which the Gerushin is masculine, that would be for it to create that Zika, without having the impact as far as the Isser Heter is concerned. As far as the Isser Heter is concerned, that's going to be something that is only Chal L'Achar Lamed. We're going to see. I forgot to mention. I don't believe in the end that Rabbani is going to be saying that, because I think we'll see. He doesn't believe that that's true, that she's muteris until 30 days. That's going to be a major issue. Yeah.
And the Rashba can't fit with this explanation of Rava, because he's like an all or nothing type of guy. He has to be a full Ishus.
Yeah, so the Rashba, so that's an interesting point. I mean, the Rashba does address it, but he says, I'm not, I don't, oh, I wish I brought it, I didn't. I was thinking about bringing it, but I didn't, for this purpose. The Rashi says, he suggests something along these lines, but it's less compelling. It's clearly less compelling in the chutz idea,
right,
where chutz is that you're just leaving out certain people. So then,
right,
why should it have this nafkamina? Right. So he actually, in the end, just says, Rav is a shita which is rejected out of hand for the reason that it doesn't make any sense, so I'm not really, according to me. The Ramban actually himself suggests something. He actually does return to this. So he says, one second. Ulashon ze time de Rava or the Rava, the Afagav the Begin increases beget Latira. Right, again, so according to Rava, So according to the Rashba, what does Kogita de Mishayrbe means that you just can't have Gerushi Chutz. There's no Gerushi Chutz. So what is this lush? So what is this? What are we talking about here? So in part, the reason that that's problematic is now fine. So Gerushi, you can't have Gerushi Chutz. So why? If you can't have Gerushi Chutz, you can't have it Bechal. What does this mean that you have, you're going to have a get? You couldn't suggest Lechora this sort of idea. It doesn't work as well because you have, you know, components already being Chal, but I thought we just said Gerushi Chutz is no good.
Right.
So he says, meaning this suggestion that I mentioned for the Ramban, you know, that according to the Ramban's understanding of Tosos, you know, the case of Gerushin where you're Mishai or Lachamisa doesn't mean that it's completely invalid Misa. Right? That I said is a Chiddush for the Tosos. You didn't have to say that. You could have said, no, it's completely invalid. But for the Ramban, for the Rashba, the Chorot, it's Pashut that has to be completely invalidated.
Right.
So he's, but anyway, the Ramban says, it came under the Mishai or Midi El Lachamisa Mehashta Misrali Avam Lachamisha Aim Beget Zek Koach Lahatir. So the truth is that's what he says. That's like the Ramban. I'm not sure exactly what his understanding is. I have to think about it. But he says, "Less on the duke," or maybe we shouldn't think about it. That's his advice. "Less on the duke ba tfei." We don't need to be trying to figure out Rava. Because the truth is that Abaye just points out that it's not right, and we just accept that. So we don't really need to figure out Rava, so therefore it's not going to be much of a kasha on this understanding, and therefore the Ramban thinks that Afalashon Ozeb, meaning the Rava Basin, is all okay. Okay. In any event, there's just something that is a hashlama from the previous. So the last thing that we had left to discuss just from the last, from this series of issues, namely the difference, the implications of whether or not we go with the Rashba, or the Rava Bezin model of Chutz versus the Tosos model of Sahal Gemar. The last thing I wanted to just consider and point out is the issue of the relevance or the potential for the relevance of Shitas Rabbi Yochanan in Mamonos, in Dini Mamonos. Kinyon, let's say, Me'akshav v'lachal amidyom. It's a question we would ask anyway. The parallel case in Mamonos, what would we say there? Kinyon, Me'akshav v'lachal amidyom. And also we would consider, what about the models that we were using? And I'll explain in a minute why I think these could be two different questions. Right, so here we have on record what these Rishonim say, and I want to think also not just what they say, but also what they could have even said. So first, for Tosos. So we see already that Tosos believes that Rabbi Yochanan's model applies, of Haskalah v'Gemar applies to Kinyan as well, equally. And, in fact, Rabbi Yochanan's Shita applies, meaning Rabbi Yochanan believes for Rabbi Yochanan, Me'ashu b'lachal amidyom, so it has, he means exactly this thing in Kinyanim as well. This was their explanation, we saw it last week. This is the Tosos' explanation for Shitas Rabbi Yochanan on Tosos' understanding of the sugya in Suvos and Pei Beis in Bav Metzia Lamed Daled. So their understanding of it is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you say Hare Parasi Knuyelcha Meshoch Parasi Vlotia Knuyelcha Elamei Achshav Ulachal Amidyom, so their understanding of the Gemara is that Rabbi Yochanan believes that can work, but it has to be remaining in the Aga. It can't be that it's going to be in Rishus Rabim, let's say. Or in the case, let's say, take a case of get or shtar, kinyan shtar. If I give you a shtar for the purpose of kinyan and I say, and the shtar gets ripped up, so that's no good according to Rabbi Yochanan. Why is this, says the Tosos? Tosos say, because this is Rabbi Yochanan Shitaso in the Gemara in Kiddushin, that Rabbi Yochanan believes that this language implies the haschala, achshav, v'gomer, l'achar l'amidyom. And the nafkamina, according to them, Nafkamina is there's a problem of kalsa, that the implement that you're using has to be around still, that the davar hanikneh for sure, and also the implement that you're using to create the kinyan, or the kedushin, or whatever it is that we're discussing, has to be around still, bershuscha, at the time of the, or in some sense bershuscha, at least in an agam, at the 30-day mark. Because the kinyan hasn't yet been completed yet. Right? This is Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. Now, an interesting question to raise, if we have time, we'll see it. I don't know if I have this on Makaros. The Tosafot of Vitzia actually have two deos about what the din is, three deos, in fact. What would be the other implications? I mean, this is not our topic. Our topic is really Kiddushin, but I'm just pointing out that if we were to pursue this in Mamonos, we'd have to wonder again. I mean, part of the reason is because it's so unclear what this means, what's Maskel, what's Gomer, what happens now, what happens later. But you have essentially three opinions in that one very little Tosafot, one short Tosafot, in Bav Metzia and Lamed Daled. What would be the din, according to Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of Me'ashav Alach, or Kinyan, Me'ashav Alach Lamed Yom, of Vlados? A vlad of the behema that you do a kinyan on now, right? Let's say there are vlados between now and then, on 30 days. So who owns it? It sounds like there are three opinions in Tosfos on this issue, or at least they consider three possibilities. One, the prior owner, or in the case of Me'asher Lachal HaMidyom, it's the Mocher. The Mocher is Me'asher, was Mocher this Me'asher Lachal HaMidyom. So the Mocher owns the Vlados between now and 30 days from now. You have the other view hinted to, which is that the Lokeach owns the Vlados from now until 30 days from now. And then you have an interesting Pshara, which needs further analysis, but not for now. Maybe we'll get to it, maybe we won't. Which is that maybe they own the Vlados that were existing, B'shas Mesira, but those that came about afterwards, they won't own. So it's a little bit puzzling, but that seems to be, they're sort of coming to grips with the question of what the impact is in Mamonos of this same model. One thing they don't raise, and one thing that I think is something to think about, is what would be the implications as far as the equivalent of what we have here, as far as Kinyanim Acherim, Kinyanim Acherim being Tofes. Let's say the Mocher sells it, Me'asher L'Achal HaMidyom, and then he sells it to somebody else within that time period. What would be the Lach in that case? So it's conceivable, maybe it'll be, there'll be Shutfus like there is here, but I'm not sure if it has to be. It could be that the reason there's Shutfus here is for reasons that are unique to the nature of Kiddushin. Let's say it has a certain staying power that, that Mamonos does, you wouldn't necessarily say about Bailos Mamonit, right? That the monetary ownership doesn't have that kind of staying power that, you know, once it's Chal, Lo Paki Bechdei, right? So that you wouldn't necessarily say that both of them are Chal, maybe one of them would be. That view, I think, actually does come, clearly express itself in that very Tosos. We'll come back to that at the end. Not of this, what we're saying, ultimately, at the end of Rabbi Yochanan. But in any event, the Tosos' basic idea is this is something which clearly does apply, and in fact, this is Shitas Rabbi Yochanan in the context of Mamonos, is an extension of Shitas Rabbi Yochanan here. Now, what does the Rashba think about this? So the Rashba make clear that he thinks there's no issue. There's no connection, although that formulation is a little bit too strong. But there's basically no reason to just take what Rabbi Yochanan says here and start trying to apply it in Mamonos. That Rabbi Yochanan, when he... What does Rabbi Yochanan think Me'asher L'Achal HaMidyom means? He thinks it means what everybody else means. Namely, Gufo Me'ayom U'Peir L'Achar Misa. Or Gufo Me'ayom U'Peir L'Achar whatever. Right? So that the... in general, this is the Sugya of Basri, if you see it. I don't have it here. Do I not have this? Yeah, I do. Yeah, right. This is right. The Mishnah speaks of Machosiv Nechasel Dnav, the Banav Tzarich Sheichtov Me'ayom Lachar Misa. So the Gemara says, "Kikasa Me'ayom Lachar Misa Me'havi." Don't we say that this is no good? So the Gemara says, "No. What it means is of a hachkamer like Gufa Kane Me'ayom Per Lachar Misa." Right. It means Gufa Me'ayom Per Lachar Misa. So the Rashi says that's Rabbi Yochanan agrees with that. It means Guva Me'ayom Per Lachar Misa. Now the truth of the matter is, I formulated this that meaning as opposed to what? As opposed to saying this is a chutz, this is a language of chutz, and this is a model of chutz, right? Of saying something like the Tosafot say. What does he say here? He says it's Mask Vashra. So the Rashba would be saying what just like Rabbi Yochanan means, right? That Harayat Mgudesh say chutz mi Misha Yekadesh Osach. Harayat Mgudesh say chutz mi Misha. Let's say Yekadesh Osach. In the context of Kinyan. So you would say maybe it should be like a Kinyan chutz. How is it kanoi li or how is it knila chutz mi Reuven and Shimon? Or whoever it is that is coming to be buying it within the next 30 days. So the Rashba clearly thinks that that's not so. Now, what he thinks is the case for Rabbi Yochanan is that it's gufo me'ayom u'peir l'achar misa. Now, why is this? So the truth is that the Rashi actually does view that as being actually consistent with Rabbi Yochanan. He says that basically the linguistic principle of Rabbi Yochanan is, really fundamentally, we can't ignore either of these statements. It's not a lashon of Tanai, A. B, but we can't just dismiss them, like, right? So if it's not a lashon of Tanai, you obviously are interjecting Shmuel, it's not Tanai. It's also not Chazara. He believes both of these had to be taken as legally significant, and therefore, in the context of Kiddushin and Gerushin, that comes to this, you know, so what way can they be both taken as significant in a way which, what it means is chutz, and you're specifying the parameters of who it is that you're excluding, chutz v'misha yikadosh osach pasoch bein me'asher v'lachal HaMidyom. In that same linguistic principle, the same hermeneutic principle of what we should be taking, whether or not we should be, or that animates Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of this being translating into an idea of chutz in the context of Gerushin and Kiddushin, applied in Mamonos. So it works very simply. Gufa me'ayom u'peir l'achar misa. We can take both of them to be seriously. It's not a chazara. It's not a safek. It's not tanai. It's Gufame, it's take both of them seriously, and in the context of Mamanos, it's Gufame Yomalach, Peralach and Misa. Right, so this is what he says, right? This is the Rashba and Samacham and Alaf here. This is in the context of actually saying that we he paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, in fact, Rashba does, the Kedusha Me'etosimba. He rejects the Ramban. The Ramban had said, we don't need to get into that. He says, of right, the pera denafki bay, adachamisa hudigamishayaba. Tell the day, lishna de mayom dafka, lishna de lachamisa dafka. This is on page 4. This is the Rashba on Samchamanov, Dibra Maskal Linian Halacha, on page 4. De mayom dafka, lishna de lachamisa dafka, vilcha koheka de ika lukiume kule lishna mikayamina. This is the sort of interpretive principle behind where Rabbi Yochanan comes to the idea that it should be chutz in the context of Kiddushin. It's because his basic animating idea is that we have to take both of these elements of the of what he said as legally significant. So in the context of Kiddushin, fine. So that's what we'll come to. We'll say it means chutz. In the context of Mamanos, we'll say it means very simply, Gufo Hayom Peir Lachamisa. Now, right, just like in Kiddushin, it is a shiur. We're taking both seriously. It happens to be that we're translating differently. So basically he says, but don't take the model as being something which is relevant in Mamanos. It isn't. Now the question is, why is that? And I would argue, and the reason I'm framing it, I'm even mentioning it in this context as part of in this stage of the analysis, because I think it really is a nafka mina, or at least it's potentially a nafka mina, between the Tosfos and the Rashba. Right? In other words, Rashba is saying, don't take what I think he means by Me'asher Lach Lamed Yom in the context of Kedushin and apply it in Mamanos. Why is that? So you could just say, well, it's just not likely for him to mean Hareza Kanolecha Me'ashav, Hareza, let's say, Shacha, or I want you to own this, except insofar as it applies to certain people. It's just unlikely for somebody to mean that. In Mamanos, it's much more likely for him to mean, I want you to Hareza Kanolecha Me'ashav L'Achal HaMidyom. He means that a part is being Kanolecha now, and something else is being Kanolecha L'Achal HaMidyom. But I think it's open to question whether or not maybe it's not just that he thinks that the Rashba thinks that that's actually what he's more likely to mean. In fact, it could very well be that the model, the mechanism that the Rashba believes is what this language translates into in Kiddushin and in Gerushin, namely Chutz, that's actually not even something which is applicable in Mamanos. So that raises the question, is that the case? So I think in terms of what, I mean, and according to this, the Rashba would say, you know what, even if you said, according to the first way of understanding the Rashba, so it could be that it is the model is applicable. It wouldn't be much of an nafka mina to bring between Tosfos and the Rashba. Both of them, in theory, could have agreed. It's just a question of whether or not we, in fact, take them to be meaning something similar in the context of Mamanos. In which case, if he didn't say Me'asher v'lach alamon, let's say the guy is Kohen, he says, Hareza, you know, Meshoch v'azug v'lo teknulach, v'lo yeshacha chutz mi, misha, chutz mi shimon. Or chutz mi misha yavo v'yikneo so, bein me'ashav l'ach l'medyom. So then, according to the first understanding of the Rashba, maybe then he would, yeah, that in fact would be something similar, parallel to what we have in Rabbi Yochanan's me'ashav l'ach l'medyom. It would be the equivalent of chutz, because you're saying chutz. Just that I don't think that's what he means when he says these things in Mamanos.
Unless to be mechalik.
Alternatively,
because Mamanos you have also, like, yeah. Gezel, for example, it's yours. Everyone else
sees
her gezel, just like
the Ishish
Ish.
Yeah.
Ishish to this one.
Well, there's the gezel, which is the equivalent of the Isra Ishish, and there's also the fact that it's preventing, precluding other people's kinyan from Ichal. You can't just. Right. So, we'll see. That's what I want to explore. Is the alternative, which is that it's not just that that's what he thinks that that he happens to mean in this case. It's, in fact, there is no mechanism of chutz in Mamanos that even if he were to say chutz, it wouldn't work. So for that, this issue, as far as I've seen, isn't addressed directly, but I think, just in terms of the relevant Makoros, is what we would come up with. Which is the Mishnah in Peah, the Machlokas that we find in the Tanaim in Peah, which is, right, I mean, the basic question is, what can you be Makne Chutz Mi somebody? Can you be Kone Chutz Mi somebody? So here we find the closest thing I think we find explicitly is the Machlokas Beishamah and Beishillel regarding Hefker, La'aniyim. Let's say, Beishamah says, let's say you say, I'm mafkir this, but only to aniyim, not to ashir. So is that hefker chal or not? So Beishamah says, hefker la'aniyim hefker, whereas Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel omrim eino hefker, achi yufkar af la'ashirim. Kishmita, just like you have Shmita, which is something which applies universally in scope, right? It's not something that applies to klapeis of people and not others. It's a, if something is hufgar, you know, as a result of the Shmita, so that's something which is hufgar to everybody, right? Everybody is, it's considered to be ownerless for everybody. Right? So this, that's the machlokes now between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding hefker l'aniyim. We don't know much more than that, just from the Mishnah. I mean, is that something which is potentially relevant for us? Is the issue our issue? Is this a din by hefker? Is this a din specifically of aniyim versus ashirim? So that's not clear. A little more of a picture in the context of the Yerushalmi. The real point here, I brought the whole Yerushalmi because it's related, but the bottom line is if you take a look at the last three lines in the Yerushalmi, so Yerushalmi and Peya, cites a machokas, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, Aliba de Beis Hillel. La'adam avalol lebehema. Let's say you want to be mafkir to just the people and not to behemos. Or lebehema, I'm sorry, or leYisrael avalol goyim. Or you want it to be mafkir only klape Yisrael, but not for non-Jews. Or la'aniyeh yosa yir, avalol la'aniyeh yir acheres. Or you want to say, I want to be mafkir, but only for these aniyim and not other aniyim. Right? So plug the Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish. So this is machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. I believe this is machlokas within, and you'll see, this is machlokas within Beis Hillel. Right? Meaning Beis Hillel, who thinks you can't do this, you can't be mafkir, la'ashirim, la'aniyim, but not la'ashirim, but what about all these other cases? So, the Gemara, the Yerushalmi explains, adai to Rabbi Yochanan hefker hefker, v'adai to Rabbi Shimon Beis Lakish, ben Lakish, ein hefker hefker. Now, what seems to be the case is that they're, that first line in Yerushalmi about why this is machlokas Beis Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan seems to be that this follows this, that this is a machlokas follows from what we just saw. And the reason I'm not getting into it is not entirely obvious why and what way it follows. The Yerushalmi previously disclosed that there are two different views of the makaros of this machlokas, just what are each of them deriving. And it isn't entirely obvious that it should be more than that. It should actually lead to nafkaminas. It could be explained. The basic way that it sounds like it works is that. Essentially, Rabbi Yochanan thinks Beis Hillel is based on a miut that you can't do hefker, like peyel aniyim lo lashirim, but otherwise it's okay. Meaning that that basically there's a special xeris kasuv, you can't be mafkir dafka aniyim excluding ashirim, but everything else is fine. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, this is how the simple way to interpret the Yerushalmi. Whereas Reish Lakish understood that it wasn't based on that, and therefore he thought that it was much broader application. It's not just you can be mafkir la'aniyim lo lashirim, you can be mafkir li'irachas to, as opposed to ni'iracheres, etc. So that on the view of, and then the Yerushalmi cites that, in fact, this is not just something we need to be medayik from what they've just said. In fact, they themselves explicitly had a machlokes about this issue. Hefker la'aniyim, what about hefker, let's say for ni'irachas versus ni'iracheres, aliba de Beis Hillel? Does he disagree with that as well? That according to Reish Lakish, ain hefker or hefker, according to Rabbi Yochanan, hefker or hefker. And that's just what we find in the Yerushalmi. In the Gemara, in the Bavli, so we find, and this is already, I didn't put it in the chorus, I'll just mention it though, we find it seems to be some sort of achra on this topic in the Bavli. The Bavli discusses, this is the Gemara in Elam Metzias, about Metzias Daf Lamed Amud Beis. The Gemara says, it was a case where somebody wanted to be mafkir, but he wanted to stop some nudnik from taking it. So he said, I'm going to... What?
He said every... He, like... It was where... No, it was... What's his name? It was, like, within the story about him.
I don't want to say...
It was a chayah for...
Yeah, exactly, right. So he says...
Everybody besides for you.
Yeah, so he says, L'kuli yama afkarinu, v'lecha lo afkarinu. So he says, okay, I'm making it hefkir for... I'm being mafkir this to everybody, because the guy kept on being zocha. Right. He says, I'm being mafkir this for everybody except for you. So it's klapa you, it should be considered still mine. Everybody else, it's as far as everybody else is concerned, is hefker. So what?
It says it was only once a called, only this care.
Right, because the Gemara objects. The Gemara says, "Umi what? It says umi avi hefker ki hagavna. Is that actually something which can be done hefker like that?" The Gemara says, "Va'atanam b'shami omrim hefker la'aniyim hefker b'shilo omrim eno hefker achi hefker la'aniyim la'ashirim kishmita." So this first of all sounds like it's clearly taking the position of Reish Lakish in the Yerushalmi, namely, you cannot have selective hefker. You can be mafkir, but that's fine. But you can't be mafkir and then clap a certain person. It's no good. Elo Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi, the kuli amav grinu. Okay, and he's just trying to scare him off, right? So it's quite possible. It happens to be that the Rosh thinks we. You see from here we paskin like this day. No, the Yehuda is not so sure. He's not sure that the Gemara needs to be committed to paskening against on this issue, or it's just a matter of just part of the story. But either way, it's at least omei b'safek, whether or not hefker le echad velo le acherim is something which is halachically viable. And I think that if you say it is not something, right, assuming that we, let's say, pask in this way, so the question becomes, why is that? I mean, it could be that that's because, in fact, we have no, I mean, the drasha that told us this is, you know, the basis, on the basis of which we find out that you can't do these things that for Beis Hillel, so that what that means is you can't have bailus chape echad, you know, bailus, let's say, Reuven, that somehow is not going to be chal klape Shimon. Either it exists or it doesn't exist. Right? This precise notion of Ishus le'echad, Ishus Reuven, she's Ishus Reuven, klape Shimon, but not klape Reuven, not klape Levi. That does not exist in the context of Mamonos. Mamonos is something which is either there or not for everybody. Right? This is at least a Liba de Reish Lakish Beis Hillel. So that's why Hefker, that's the basis, and that's what we derive, in fact, from Beis Hillel. That's why Hefker, you know, le'echad, below, you know, you can't exclude anybody from Hefker. There's no such thing. What you're trying to say is, I want to be owning this thing, klape this person, but as far as everybody else is concerned, I'm not owning it. That doesn't exist. Likewise, even if you think, and on the other hand, even if you think it does exist, let's say we pass in the other day that you can be mafkir, let's say we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan, you can be mafkir chutz mi echad. One wonders whether or not that means, could you have such a thing on the Kenyan side of it? Right? Could I have, let's say, being kone something? Chutz, I mean, this is the equivalent of gerishay chutz, right? The hefker chutz would be the equivalent of gerishay chutz. But there's a possibility that you might say, even if you can do that, right, even if you can sort of, once you're in full control, you can kind of dictate, and you know, the unraveling of it in a way that allows for it to be unraveled to copy certain people and not others, but on the Kenyan side of it, you can't do that. I mean, that we saw where, in the Gemara itself, as a possibilities for, when the Gemara in Gittin was discussing what is the din of kedusha chutz aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, right? Rabbi Eliezer holds that gerushay chutz is fully effective. The Gemara says we can ask the question of kedusha chutz not only for the rabbanon but even for Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer thinks gerushay chutz is effective, but not kedusha chutz. Why? Because kedusha chutz you need, because gerushay chutz you have the pasuk leisal yishacher. Kedusha chutz you need kinyan ma'aya. So one could take that to mean that the idea is that if you want to create a kinyan, if you're the bailim, if you're the author, you're already in control, so it's one thing, you can decide how you want it. But if you're trying to assume control over something halachically, so you can't do that in stages, you have to become the owner of it in a way which is chal universally. So if that's true, then even if you were to say, let's say, being mafkir chutz works, right? But lav dafka, that being kone,
it's kinyan of shutvus doesn't really...
Chutz, what?
Shutvus, that being example words. Kuli the property is usher, the makabe shutuf.
But that's not really a chutz. That's not
the original kenyan.
Well, I mean, there's a notion of shutufus. Here we're saying that as far as that person's concerned, I'm not considered the owner in a sense. Shutufus is relevant for the point of having mutual bailus, that we'll come back to. So the one thing I forgot to read in the course. The one thing I haven't seen anybody. What is that even something? I mean, what is halacha of somebody who tries to be kone, let's say, I sell it to you, but it shouldn't be chal klape chutz mi, say, Reuven? Does that work? What is halacha there?
Could you just say that the difference between by a woman and by objects, that because the woman has her own das, therefore we're still looking at her in relation to other people?
Yeah, I think there could be a number of different... Yeah, that could be one.
Well, by
right.
it's an object. We're not dealing with other people, even. It's just
right.
Their personal...
And you could say that, you know, that we're talking about interpersonal relationships, so that can create a sort of multi-layered kind of drama that as far as certain people she's related, not others, that's something which
right.
makes sense. But whereas when you're dealing with Mamonos,
you're
so
not
that's not...
People,
you can't... The money doesn't relate to you, klape him, and not somebody else.
It relates to you.
Either it's there or it's not.
Das may not be a factor, whatever.
That's true also, right. But I think I would say, in terms of Ishus, you might say, listen, as far as this... You know, you can have multi-layered relationships. You can have a situation where she's... You know, related, but you're carving out an exception. She doesn't want to be. She's not considered related as far as. But in Mamonos, either you own it or Mamonos doesn't come in those varieties. Either you own something by list, if you own it or you don't. But so, what would be the halacha in the case of kinyan chutz? So the one thing I saw, I forgot to the Ksos and the Avni Milum, it's the same person, he cites the Maharas Hasson as the Maharas Hasson in a tshuva as citing as, take a look at the Rush. I'm not sure that it, I'm not sure I'm convinced that the Rush is saying this, but that maybe the Rush has a case like this. I mean, this is just, he happens to be discussing this sort of case. The Rush in Klal Ein Dalad, Simen Dalad, or Os Dalad, in Klal Ein Dalad, in Shuvos, discusses the case where, let's say, you have a Balchov, and I want to give it to you, but I don't want that Balchov to be collecting it from you. So in such a case, this is how the Maharas Hasson takes him. And the Ksos quotes him, I think, in Ksos, I think, Kufiyad Aleph, maybe? Don't quote me on that. And in the Avni Milum, also don't quote me on that, if you don't remember. But he says that that this would, he assumes that this would be effective, in fact. That maybe you could have such a thing, that the Rush envisioned that if I wanted to, let's say, sell it to you, but I don't want your Bachov to be able to be gover from it. So I can actually sell it to you chutz mimenu. And that, therefore, as far as he's concerned, I'm still the owner of it, not you. So you do see that there's a Rishon that thought that maybe this sort of thing would work. I'm just saying that, especially based on the paradigm of Hefker L'Aniyim, and how many Rishonim, in fact, is Sumi Paskin, you couldn't even translate the notion of Rabbi Yochanan of Me'ash V'Lachar Shal Shem Yom within the world of Mamonos. It's not something which has any relevance there. And therefore, that's why I think of it as a kind of an akamina, in a sense, between the Tosos' understanding of Me'ash V'Lachar Lamed Yom and the Rashba's. The Rashba's view, I think it's very much open to question whether or not this is something which even has a parallel, which Halacha accepts in Mamonos. In the end, it may not even be coincidence that the Rashba happens to think that, you know, that the interpretation of the as both being significant, that's something which Rabbi Yochanan will believe is true, Bein B'Kiddushin V'Gerushin Bein B'Mamonos. But the actual, what the interpretation is, it's very different. I'm not sure that that's just a coincidence. I think it would very well be that that's because it couldn't even be this. Alright, so that's, I guess we'll stop now. And the next thing we're going to be focusing on now is really just trying to understand what Rabbi Yochanan, according to each of these, how do we understand the fact that there is no Kiddushin, that you can have two Kiddushins with Tofes? How is it that you can have the Sheni's Kiddushin with Tofes after the Rishon's Kiddushin, and how is it that given the Sheni's Kiddushin with Tofes, that both of them are able to sort of be maintained, that there's a mutual, there's a simultaneous Ishus, she's simultaneously Ishus Ruven and Ishus Shimon. How does that work in light of the fact that in Kiddushin Tofes and Ishus Ish? So the first thing for us to really delve into, and that's what we're going to be doing, is just the nature, the source, character of the din of Ein Kiddushin Tofes and Ve'eshus Ish. So for that, I've given you Makoros, and Mirza Shem will pick up on Tuesday. Yeah. Okay? 5:45. Yeah. Does that work?
Yeah, perfect.